19.
If I was to use the phrase full like a stuffed tick, would you understand what I was talking about? I'm hurting. I'm in pain, brethren, and I appreciate your hospitality. I do, but I physically hurt. Had the plaza last night for dinner. Skipped breakfast on purpose because I was still full. Had the plaza for lunch today in Pampa. And then got fed this chicken spaghetti with apple cherry cobbler ice cream. I'm in pain, brethren. I'm in pain. And I was going to save this for Friday, but I'm just going to give it to you now. I feel like because y'all are surrounded by feedlots that y'all just kind of take on that persona. And so we'll just stuff people till we can't stuff them anymore because maybe we'll get more out of them. I feel like maybe that's what you think. I may have to roll up here Friday. All right. So we're going to switch gears back to kind of where we started Sunday. We saw Jesus and saw kind of his life and his events to really get our attention Sunday. And the last two nights we've kind of gone with application. What does it look like if I've seen? And what I want to do tonight is kind of now go back to, well, let's look again. Let's look at that creator that we touched on in Bible class a little bit and touched on a little bit, but I want to just kind of go back because I think it's worthy of it. I will slip this in here for free. To me, in the book of Isaiah, there's two arguments that Isaiah seems to use over and over and over to try to convince them that God is truly God. And they seem to run like a theme throughout. There's two things that Isaiah keys in on. One is that God knows the future, that he calls things before time. And then the other big point that he makes over and over and over is that God is creator. And it's those two things. If you got nothing else, those two like rock solid anchors. If you want to know that the God we serve is truly God, look at his creator power and look at his ability to know the future and call his shot. Tonight we're going to focus on the creator power. Why are you here tonight? Why'd you make the choice on a Wednesday night after a long already week and a long day at work, and you put your clothes on, put dress clothes on? Maybe, I don't know, maybe y'all, some of y'all dress like this all the time. I can promise you that my regular Wednesdays, I'm not wearing French cuff shirts, although I'll slip this in here for free, but brought three French cuff shirts to wear this week. You want to guess what I forgot? Cufflinks. You know what good a French cuff shirt is without cufflinks? Nothing. So that's for free. Why'd you do it? Why are you putting forth all this effort to be here? Because you believe in God. Because you believe time spent honoring him and worshiping him is worth it. Time to honor and praise and glorify God. But can you really trust him? Do you ever have moments of doubt? Like, is this really worth it? How do we really know that he can take care of us? How do I know that when I bring, I mean, I've got some big burdens to bring to him that I brought to him before. How do I know he can do anything? How do I know he'll really hear? How do I know he can answer? Just how big, how awesome, how much power is at your disposal, God? How do I know that? Well, I would encourage you, blessed with where you live, and I hope you don't take this for granted, to go out in the evening one night and look at this big sky that y'all are ridiculously blessed with. I loved the people when I lived here, but I'm going to tell you one thing that grabs a hold of you that I miss from living here is that big sky. The only thing I regret a little bit is that I don't preach about 15 minutes shorter so I could get just a little bit more of that sunset on my ride to Bushland after services are over, because it's spectacular, right? So if you're ever having those moments where you're doubt, can God do anything? How big, how awesome is God? Go out, look up in the sky, and you will know that the God we worship is greater than anything we could possibly imagine. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day it utters speech. Night unto night it reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In other words, those stars that are up there, they're not just up there, twinkle, twinkle, little star. They're shouting down to us. They're declaring to us that God is amazing. And there's no language, there's no country, no matter what language it may speak, there's no place that the glory of God in creation has not reached. And declared that God is bigger than anything you could possibly imagine. He's bigger than your biggest prayer request. He's more powerful than any enemy you may ever face. Day after day, night after night, the stars are declaring, don't make God too small. Don't put him in a box. Because he's greater than anything you could possibly imagine. They are like a billboard telling us that every single day. One of the commonly used phrases in the scientific world is the known universe. You want to know why they have to use that terminology? Because we don't know all that's out there. Any of y'all like following up with the Del Webb stuff and the new pictures, like kind of putting Hubble, they're like one person like, all right, man, you and I after services, we'll nerd out together because apparently nobody else like watches Google or gets on Facebook. Spectacular pictures. The known universe. Because we haven't built a telescope or sent a satellite far enough to know exactly everything that's out there that God has created. And as our technology improves, we just keep seeing more and more cool stuff. We have more and more wow moments. And I ever wonder if sometimes God's not like, man, I wish they could figure this technology out a little faster because I got even more amazing things to show y'all. Here's one of the dilemmas they have, though. One of the reasons we're convinced that there must be life on other planets, and this is specifically y'all Roswell people, right? They're convinced that there must be life on other planets, and the reason why they're so passionate about that is if we are the only inhabited planet, then our universe is way oversized. And I say to that, right on. If the only purpose of our universe is just to be home for us, then it is way oversized. But what if that's not the primary purpose of the universe? What if the primary purpose of the universe is to show off the splendor and majesty and awesomeness and glory of the one who created it? And if that's the purpose, then I'd say it's just the right size. Imagine when God spoke light into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. You ever had the moment just, man, I wish I could have seen that, right? You ever had those moments? Are you sure? Because when he said that, let there be light, light appeared traveling at 186,000 miles a second. That's the speed of light. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. It's so fast, and you can Google this, a beam of light is so fast, it can circle the earth, the circumference of the earth, seven times every second. That's incredible. Y'all remember in school studying about the Milky Way galaxy? Anybody remember that one? Without thinking about the candy bar, have you heard? You thought about the Milky Way galaxy? You think about how vast it is. If you wanted to visit one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other, it's 100,000 light years across. What's a light year? Well, we know the speed of light. It's pretty fast, 186,000 miles a second. And you let that travel for an entire year, a light year. These are big numbers. This is more zeros than I probably should be handling, but here you got. 5.88 trillion miles in a year. That's a light year. 5.88 trillion miles. And that's one of the main measurements we use to measure the known universe. A ruler, not much help. An inch, a yard, a football field, useless. We have a universe that's so large, we use a ruler, a measuring stick, that is 5.88 trillion miles long to talk about how big the universe is that he created. Inside of that Milky Way galaxy, there's not just millions of stars, there's not hundreds of millions of stars, there are billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. If you're still open to Psalms, look if you would at chapter 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And your version, your translation either says all the host of them, or some of your versions may just say all the stars by the breath of his mouth. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all of the stars by the breath of his mouth. Just in our Milky Way galaxy, there are billions of stars. One astronomer, David Block, said, if we were to count the billions of stars in our Milky Way galaxy, one star per second. One, two, I promise I'm not going to do that tonight, but just if we counted the billions of stars, one star per second, just to count the ones in our galaxy would take you 2,500 years. And that's just the Milky Way galaxy, and there are millions of galaxies. With that in mind, look if you would at Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 25 and 26. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 and 26. To whom then will you liken me? To whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? What other God is like me? Who's equal to me? Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out the host by number and calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Millions, billions upon billions of stars, and this text says that God has a name for each of them, and he can count them. What I'm trying to just scrape the surface of, brethren, we've got to get Jesus right-sized in our minds. He doesn't have a brain like ours. He doesn't think like we do. He's not a bigger, better version of us. He is working on a canvas bigger than anything we've ever dreamed of. And the heavens are shouting to us, this is the glory of your Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things that have been brought into being were brought into being by Him, and through Him, and for Him. That's the Jesus we serve, who spoke these things into existence. Billions of stars, and He can count them all by name. Let me give you another picture. Scientists say that our solar system, the one with all of the planets, you got the sun in the middle and all the planets that are orbiting around it. Y'all remember studying this in school? Anybody want to name them all? Mars, Jupiter, Venus. Y'all remember when Pluto used to make the list and now he's not cool enough and they kicked him out? Remember we used to have nine and we had all the sayings and they ruined all that because now supposedly he doesn't get to be a planet, although I've heard rumblings that maybe he gets to be a planet again. I don't know. Our solar system, all of those in that vastness of monster-sized rocks, if our solar system was the size of a quarter, the Milky Way galaxy in comparison would be the North American continent. Our solar system, compared to the Milky Way galaxy, is a quarter to the North American continent. We're not even all that significant in our own subdivision of the universe. And somewhere up there, there's a star. It's not the biggest. It's not the baddest. Just one of the many billions up there. And we call it the sun. And it's 93 million miles away. And it's so powerful that the sunlight from it takes 8 minutes to travel 93 million miles from the sun to your skin here in North Texas. And that's just one of the things that came forth when God said, "Let there be light." I think the psalmist got it right when he said in Psalm 147 in verse 4, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have put into place, what is man that you are mindful of him?" I mean, look at all it, look the vastness and the beauty and the spectacularness of all of this. And you made all of that, and it's that ginormous. What is man that you're mindful of us? Psalm 147 and verse 4 is very similar to Psalm 33. It says, "He determines the number of stars and he calls them each by name." We've covered that. Just as God can call the stars by name, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could start in this building and name each of us by name. And in every church that's assembled to do the same thing that we're doing tonight, he knows each of them by name. He knows every created being by name. In fact, the scriptures say he could count the very hairs on our head. God knows us. In this vast, ridiculously large universe, he still is keenly aware of you and what you're going through, and he loves you, and he has invited you into a relationship with him that doesn't ever have to end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With all of that in mind, I want to transition then a little bit. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, and I want to start in verse 27. I'm just going to warn you, we're about to take a hard left turn here. Matthew 27, verse 27. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And then they spat on him. And they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes back on him, and led him away to be crucified." The same Jesus that we've been talking about that created all of these things, all things hold together in him, who made all of this awesome, vast creation, that Jesus, let that happen to him. I don't know about all of y'all's personalities, but if I was to be spat on, I'm just going to tell you, I love y'all. But if between now and going to my car tonight, if one of y'all chooses to spit on me, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not the Christian man that you think that I am. That's not going to go well. I'd like to think I'm a better human being than that, but I'm just going to tell you certain things that might get my self worked up. You spit on me, if you bust me over the head with a stick, I promise you that's not going to go well. Here's the creator of the universe, and do you notice, like, they get the whole garrison, they got everybody around him, they put on a public show in front of all of them, strip him naked, put the robe on him, put the crown on him, spit on him, bow their knees, make fun of him, mock him, and crucify him. Like, Dan, that's a pretty hard left turn. Talking about the universe and now the cross, and I say, absolutely, the cross. The creator of everything, the maker of the entire universe, coming to this planet, humbling himself in the form of a man, hanging on a cross made out of trees that he spoke into existence, murdered by people that he himself breathed the breath of life into. That's who we worship. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, we don't get from God what we deserve. We don't get from God what we deserve. Look, if you would, at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 11. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, and guess what? We don't have that measurement. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And as far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We don't have a ruler that stretches that far, folks. What that says to me is long before you ever decided what you were going to do with God, God decided what he was going to do for you. And he had a plan to not give you what your sins deserve, but to let his son drink that cup. And as a result of his son drinking the cup of God's wrath, he could invite us to be a part of his family. I'll let my son suffer so you can become my children and inherit eternal bliss. What that says to me, folks, is that no matter what you're facing, whether it's loneliness or depression, if you've gone through a divorce, if you've been diagnosed with cancer or a loved one has, if you've been wrongly accused, if you've suffered the death of a loved one, there is nothing this world can throw at you that our awesome God cannot handle and the grasp of his love cannot protect you from. Did you know that Isaiah 40 and verse 12, as vast as the universe we've been talking about, did you know that Isaiah 40 verse 12 says, God measures the universe in the span of his hand? And I understand that's symbolic, but it's like we're talking light years and millions and trillions of miles, and we can't even measure that far. And God looks at it and he measured and he goes, yeah, it'll fit right here. So when Scripture says it's not possible for Satan to snatch us out of his hand, I believe the Scriptures. So what am I supposed to do with all this? What should my response be to seeing my Savior who created all this willing to do that for me, who knows me better than he knows the stars, and there's a lot of them and he can call them by name. What am I supposed to do with this information? I want to close with Philippians chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15. I don't have time to get into the mind of Christ. We already covered that a little bit. But as you come down to verse 14, it says in Philippians 2, do all things without complaining and grumbling or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Some translations say, among whom you shine like stars. Where do we start? What are the heavens doing? What are the stars doing? The heavens declare the glory of God. You know what your purpose is? Same thing. Same thing. Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know what that says to me? As awesome as each and every star is, you have that same power in this world. As bright as the sun shines on this planet and warms us and gives us light, he says, amongst a perverse and crooked generation, you can shine your light and bring the same honor and glory to your Father and your Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you've seen him, reflect his glory. If you've seen him, let your light shine. You want to take out your songbook and turn to the number that our brother has selected. Sometimes simple is pretty powerful. You know all you need to do in order to glorify God and bring Him glory? Is make up your mind that's what you want to do. It's as simple as making a decision. That's the whole point of last night about rejoicing in the Lord always. It's a choice we make. And you can start tonight with a simple, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow. My cross I'll carry. No turning back. I'll follow him. Here's my question. Who else do you want to follow? If the Jesus who spoke all this into existence says, I'm willing to do this for you, I don't want to follow anybody else. If you haven't made that decision, this church family wants to encourage you to do that. Our Lord and Savior with arms outspread wants to invite you, come home. And if we can wash you in the waters of baptism so your sins can be washed away and you can become his child, that's what he died to make possible. And it's as simple as making a decision. I'm ready to follow. We can encourage you to do that. Won't you come as together we stand and while we sing.